For any sized donation before December 1st, we'll send you my 2021 Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
He teaches us that whenever we ask in prayer for some temporal blessing, some reprieve from some impending sorrow or suffering, we ought always to add, "If it be thy will."
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last podcast, we were walking with Jesus and the 11 as they left the city and began making their way toward the Garden of Gethsemane. On the way, Jesus lets them know that it's not only betrayal that awaits from one of them, but abandonment from all of them. Jesus cites Zechariah 13 and alters it slightly so that it's clear that the hand that is striking him, the Good Shepherd, is the Father himself, and the result is that his sheep will scatter. Still, he tells them, after he has been raised up, the work of the entire Trinity, remember, he will go before them to Galilee, the shepherd leading his flock back together. The 11 will be reminded of those very words on resurrection morning by the angel at the tomb. But instead of thinking about the joy of that meeting, Peter is fixated on the implied insult that he'd be abandoning Jesus. "No way, no how," is Peter's response, and he pridefully adds, "Even if they all leave you, I'm not gonna." Jesus no doubt sighed and told him the truth. "Actually, Peter, before the cock can get to his second crow, you will have denied three times that you even know who I am." Peter tells Jesus, "That's not how it's going to be." They all chime in to say the same. I guess in their sorrow, they forgot that Jesus never gets it wrong. It's way, way too easy to overestimate your own willpower and the strength of your own resolve in the face of death. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. "And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will.' And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" St. Mark 14, verses 32 to 42. Let us pray. Almighty God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy. forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Welp, are you ready to ponder God's word for today? It's deep and it's awesome. Let's get to it. Verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." As the sorrows of the Passion begin to press deeply upon Jesus, as we're about to hear, he turns to prayer. He turns to his Father. When the burden feels as though it cannot be borne, where else is there to turn? He tells 8 of the 11 disciples to sit there while he gives himself to that great work of prayer. Verse 33, and he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. Verse 34, and he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." The favored three he takes with him one last time, his closest earthly friends. He shares with them, before he begins to pray, the turmoil that is racking his heart and soul. He's sorrowful, even to the point of death. He begs them to remain where they are and watch, that is, to be with him as he struggles in prayer. And this is a beautiful truth, people loved by God. When you take up the Psalter in prayer, you are essentially watching with Jesus as he offers his prayer. You watch and learn to enter into it with him. He wants us always to make his prayer our own. Verse 35. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." He had declared that his soul was sorrowful even to the death, and now we see that the great weight that he's beginning to bear is so heavy that he staggers, he falls beneath its weight. He begs, if it were possible, for this hour to pass from him. The hour, that is, the time of his suffering, his passion. And so he addresses his Abba, his Papa. "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." He knows that he's speaking in prayer to the Almighty One, to his Father. There are no limits to his wisdom or his power. He begs, "Remove this cup from me." I think you should hear that as, "Father, if there's some other way to get this job done, please let's do it that other way." Who of us cannot understand why he would pray like that? But it was more than death, I think, he was facing down over the rim of that cup. He saw in it the fullness of divine wrath over human sin. This is the cup referred to by the psalmist. "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture. And he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." Psalm 75, verse 8. As he, the sinless one, was preparing to become sin upon the cross, he knew that it would be in him bearing our chastisement that we should be healed, according to Isaiah 53, verse 5. And it was both the horror of sin and the horror of sin's price that caused him to shrink back from that fearful chalice. Saint Ephrem the Syrian, writing in the 4th century, said, "He knew what he was saying to his Father and was well aware that this chalice could pass from him, but he had come to drink it for everyone in order to acquit through this chalice the debt of everyone." You see, if he drinks it down, beloved, then we do not have to swallow that bitterest draught. And yet, knowing full well what it would mean, he concludes his prayer with submission to the will of his Father. He teaches us that whenever we ask in prayer for some temporal blessing, some reprieve from some impending sorrow or suffering, we ought always to add, if it be thy will. That's what he taught us in the Our Father, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will, not mine, not yours. Verse 37, and he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Verse 38, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think you'd not be wrong to hear in his words here the sorrow of being let down by his nearest and dearest. He wanted not to be alone. He wanted them with him as he struggles mightily in this prayer. And when he sees them sleeping, he wails, Simon, are you asleep? Really? Couldn't you watch 1 hour with me? Watch, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then those most curious of words, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As I said last time, I really think they're not just about Simon Peter or James or John. They give you insight into Christ's own inner struggle. Tertullian, writing in the early 3rd century, Carthage, North Africa, he seems to concur. He clearly acknowledged that his soul was sorrowful even unto death and his flesh weak. His intention was to show from his troubled soul and weak flesh that both that soul and body were fully human. Jesus is of like nature with you and with me, according to his humanity. And all the weaknesses that we know in our flesh, he knows also. Yet in him, they are all without sin. Verse 39, and again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. Verse 40, and again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. They let him down yet again. He obviously woke them again, but they don't have a clue how to answer him. They are close to him. I think they feel the shame of not being there for him in what is clearly a massive struggle. Verse 41. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Verse 42, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So they let him down, not once, not twice, but thrice, just as Peter will so deny him. And yet, he seems to have gained strength as he prayed, doesn't he? He wrestled with the Father's will when the cup was being extended to him. He knows what the hour brings, and he rouses the three to go forth with him to meet it. I think as we look from this moment, you can detect that Jesus is now at peace in his resolve. If in the garden he struggled, he strolls forth to meet his faith with equanimity and peace of heart. I wonder if it was thinking about this transformation, which led St. Peter later to write, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. And that's where we'll call it quits for today, people loved by God. Up next, Jesus will encounter his betrayer, leading the mob from the chief priests and elders, and with a kiss, that betrayer will finger the man they are to arrest. And arrest him they shall, when one of them, that would be Peter, pulls out his sword to stop the arrest. All he ends up doing is slicing off the ear of the poor servant of the high priest. Jesus won't stop these proceedings, though. He points out they had plenty of time to do all this before, and no one dared to lay a hand on him in the temple. Why now? Why treating him like a thief and a robber? When the disciples see that he's not going to save himself, then, to fulfill his word, they begin peeling off this way and that. There is a young man who follows along behind for a time, but when they move against him to seize him, he drops his linen cloth and runs away naked. Might that young man have been St. Mark himself? And might his mommy's house have been the place with the upper room? much to ponder next time, people loved by God. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.